I just seeing these words, forever I am changed by your love, is sometimes quite a bit of a challenge to me because sometimes I feel like I haven't changed. Some things that I do, I haven't changed. I just wanted to share with you a verse that has been with me since the beginning of my walk with Jesus, which was one I got given really early, like about the second or third week after being saved. And it's Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, or your paths. And I often find myself carrying on doing my own thing, because I'm very capable. And the reality of that verse for me, I have to keep learning it and keep reminding myself of it. I just want to encourage you that you may have similar verses that keep speaking to you and keep speaking to you. And I'm just going to read to you the Message translation of that, which is, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. And if you want to be forever changed, then you need to keep spending time in the Word, really, because that is how you can listen to God's voice in everything that you're doing. And since the beginning of the year, and especially since we started this whole series, I've been really committing myself to spending a lot more time in the Word. And I've been doing that by, I downloaded the Daily Audio Bible after Ruth's talk the other day, because I'd not heard of that before, and I've had that on in the car every morning. I've been using YouVersion, which on my iPad, and every morning I've been going through a Bible study. And it's really been filling me up, such that I'm really spending more time thinking about what I'm doing, and not doing it all on my own, not trying to figure it all out on my own. And just to finish off, this morning I had a picture of a basket full of lots of different... I'm just trying to click on it here. Just full of lots of different balls of wool. Lots of different colours, some were sort of thick, chunky bits with slubs in it, some were really fine, some had gold through it, lots of different things. And I felt God say to me, that means something. And I could have come and said, yes, you know, it means this and that, but I decided to look for something in the Word today, rather than just say what it means on my own. And I'll get there in a minute when I press the right button. It's from Colossians. Go there this way. 2:2. And again, I'm going to read it in the Message version, because this one really works for me. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. So that's for you today, all of you. You are all different balls of wool, different parts of the body of Christ. But together, as a community, as a family, we'll be woven together, and we will express God's love into our community. Okay, so this is Colossians 2, verses 2-4. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery.
Actually, and just that, what I really, really want to do is, these verses people are giving us, is to sort of grab hold of them for ourselves, if they're for you. So that verse Susan started with, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Just pause. Is there somewhere in your life where things are not straight? Your paths are not straight? Is there stuff that you're troubled by? Things you're trying to work out and you can't work them out? Let's just take for a moment the promise of that scripture. This is what God says to you if you're in that place this morning. He says, trust in me with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make your paths straight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Grab that. If that's for you, grab it. If you can see it, you can have it.
Morning. Who was at Deeper last weekend? Those who were have heard part one of this. Deeper was fantastic. It really was. And the subject was deeper joy and being able to live in that joy and experience that joy no matter what else is going on. Just recognising the truth in God's word to us that I do apologise. I haven't brought the book with me. I was given a book on Sunday, which I've been working through. Thank you, Richard. And it is just, I've had the best week. On the surface, things haven't changed. Still haven't got a job. Still wondering where that's going to happen. Still going through the numbers and working through the emails and the phone calls and doing all that sort of stuff. So anybody who wants to continue to pray for that, please do. But inside, when the Bible talks about you being transformed from within, and that's kind of what's been going on this week. And I seriously, seriously feel a different person than I was last week. The book is called Possessing Joy, and I'd certainly recommend week one, which is all I've done so far. But one of the daily devotionals on there talks about being released from what it calls destination disease, which is the feeling that, oh, everything will be fine once I get there, or once this happens, once you move house, or once you get a job, or once you get married, and all these sort of things. People kind of put these little milestones in their lives, and they decide that everything's going to be fine once they get there. Which is one of the lies of the devil that Colin suggested we just laugh at all of the time. Laugh with God at that. Because the truth is, God's joy is there for you now. And I've felt that so much this week. Despite, as I say, circumstances in the natural not necessarily changing too much. But God's joy is there. And it's just been so real to me this week.
A couple of weeks ago, I think most of you know, we were heading to the hospital for a very unwelcome diagnosis. Before I went, I was reading the Bible, and this verse came out to me, which says, I will give you hinds feet, a hind is a deer, hinds feet on high places. And I just thought that was fantastic, because not only did that speak to me about strong bones, but about adventure. And after we'd came back from the hospital and were breaking our news to our boys, Ed said that while we'd been at the hospital, he'd been reading the Bible. And that was exactly the verse he'd got, that I will give you hinds feet on high places. And that was such a great encouragement that was the Lord's heart for us in this season. But it also took me to a verse that, of course, we know very well, but at these seasons of life means so much. Which is that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. And just to know that is where we are seated with Christ, that nothing can separate us from him, that we are in heavenly places where all the resources and strength and power and healing of heaven is available to us, and that we are far above all the enemy, all the principalities and powers, all the things that would come against us at this time. And that it's not just a place that we occasionally visit when we feel we've got lots of faith, but it's actually a place where we're seated. So the Word of God was very good to us and has given us a real solid foundation for what God is doing at this time.
I want to be changed by God's love, and the way He changes me is often through this book. And I love this book because my beautiful wife Elaine bought me this for my 30th birthday. So for the past 12 years, I've had this.
It looks newer than that.
Okay. For the past 12 years, plus VAT, plus double VAT. And one of the ways I want it to change me recently is... I'm not a fearful person. There's nothing I'm afraid of, apart from one thing, and I'm gripped by fear in a certain instance, and that certain instance is being a Christian in certain places. I'm quite happy to be a Christian here, but at work, or I do healing on the streets with Kerry, but I cack myself. If on the basis of I might see somebody I know who I don't want to see. And I've been there with Colin, and Colin's like, woohoo! And I'm like, calm down, somebody might see us. And I told Colin one day, and he said, oh, that's not right, let's pray for that. And I did feel better. I didn't feel as... I wasn't gripped by that horrible, embarrassing, sick feeling that comes... And I thought, I've got to do something about this. And I've had a go a few times at doing it. But what I did back in February, I just sat down in a chair, because that's where I find God, in silence, in a chair, with a book. And kids have left home, so it's easier. it's easier for me. And I just wrote down all the verses I could find on fear. And then I've got a long journey to work, so this paper... It isn't the talk, by the way. Don't worry. These are just Bible verses on fear. And that lives in my door pocket of my car, because I've got a long journey to work, and I read it as often as I can. And the first... Oh, damn, yeah. Can you... cut that out.
At the traffic light.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. When I'm stopped. Anyway. The first thing I found was, in the first week, I found God changing my perspective. So, you know, a bit like Dynamo, the magician we saw, about changing perspective. My perspective on that, by the way, was top northerner dodging the bus fare. Come on. So the first thing that happened was that I found God changing. My view was, whenever God says to you in the Bible, fear not, I always felt that I was getting a rollicking, because I always felt like, come on, you shouldn't fear, pull yourself together, be a man, sort it out, boy. And I realized after the first week, that's not what it means. It's, I'm with you. I'm taking care of you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And... For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of you, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him, their faces are radiant. Those who look to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. Now that's the issue for me, is embarrassment and shame. And I hate it, and it's a horrible feeling. But these verses are going into my bones, and that's where I want them. I want God's word in my bones. I want it to change me, and I really am enjoying it, especially when I read it when I'm stopped at traffic lights.
If that resonates with you, that fear thing, would you like to stand? For me, come on, let's nail this one. Fear, come on, wherever it is, let's sort. Man, don't be fearful, stand up. Chris, will you pray for these guys, and will you read over them some of these scriptures? So guys, the Word of God is living and active. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates right through to where soul and spirit meet. It heals, it restores, it transforms, and it bears fruit. That's what the Word of God says about itself. So Chris is going to read these scriptures over you. So just get ready to receive them. Just receive them. God is here. He's here.
Holy Spirit, put these words into the bones of my friends here. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army that is greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Deuteronomy 20.
I just wanted to follow on from what Chris was saying there, because one of the scriptures I hold dear, it's in Psalm 83, I think, if I remember correctly, or Psalm 81, or Psalm 83. No, Psalm 81 must be. Yeah. You know, most of you know me as Colin, the leader of River Church, but I grew up quite fearful myself, and I grew up believing everyone was better than me. And one of the reasons that I speak so fast is because I was scared of people. And if I had to say something, I wanted to say it really quickly so that I could just be quiet again and melt into the background. And the Lord really healed me a long time ago on that. But I remember once when I just joined River Church back in the late 80s, maybe in 89, and I got a really bad toothache. I hadn't been to the dentist for about 20 years at the time. No, not 20 years. I hadn't been years, a few years at the time, about 5 or 6 years. And I had a really bad toothache. And the doctor drilled a big hole in my mouth. And I remember sitting in Marlow at the chemist waiting for some prescription. And I just got out my Bible, because I like to read my Bible wherever I find a space. Not sitting at traffic lights, but, you know, sitting waiting for my prescription. And the next psalm in my list to read was Psalm 81. And I got down to verse 10, and it said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. God has such a great sense of humour. I laughed. I actually fell off my chair. And the little old lady sitting next to me looked at me like I was mad. Because she looked at the Bible, and she looked at me laughing. And then she looked back at the Bible, and she couldn't make head nor tail of it. But, you know, this... You know, you guys don't think about that when you see me get up and speak. And the Lord has taken someone who was thought everyone else was better than him, who was scared to speak in front of his own family, to now get up and speak regularly. And that's the transforming power of the Word. And that I hang on to that verse. Every time I get up to speak, I say, Lord, you promised me. You said, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it for you. And it's just to overcome the fear, we need to hang on to these verses. And, you know, I know there are other people out here who have a desperate call in their lives and really know that they're called in their heart to preach the Word with fire and with passion and with freedom. And yet sometimes we just hang back, you know. But if you know that's you, there's a deep call in you to really let rip with this, with the Word of God, you know, it means so much to you, but and you want to shout about it and sing about it and proclaim it. But actually there's something inside holding back that I want to pray for you this morning. So I'll just be out the front as we worship.
Hi, everyone. The Lord seems to be dealing with fear today. So how many of you know that fear, or gripping fear, is actually a demon? It's a spirit of fear. But we have the authority over that spirit. Before I got born again, I had a lot of fear issues since I was a kid. And in my job, you don't really want to have too many fear issues. But I got born again, and the Lord woke me up one morning, and I wasn't too used to God speaking to me, but he gave me this verse, and I want to just read it over you, because it's going to affect a good number of you anyway. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay? This is for all, every single one of us. It wasn't just, this is a word for me, but also it's a word for all of us. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's written here. And you can shove that in the devil's face and say, put that in your pipe and smoke it, because that's the word of the Lord. He's with you wherever you go. Now, what I the revelation I got from that was, you just have to obey God. He commands us. It's not an option. It's a command. But when God gives you a command, guess what? He gives you the power. You've got his spirit. So you just say, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. It's your business, Lord. And that set me free. And later on, I got delivered of spirits of fear, but it took me down that path. He doesn't auto-deliver you. You need to start resisting yourself. But he strengthens you with the word. This is the sword of the spirit. And I just want to say, do not be terrified. Look, many times in that passage, he reminds Joshua, I command you. He reminds him, don't be scared. Why? Because he's going to get scared. We have natural fear, and we have supernatural unclean fear, which is demonic bondage. But God knows he's going to be affected. And he knows each one of us is going to be affected. It's kind of no surprise to God. He's not surprised. We mustn't feel condemnation if we feel scared. Well, God's obviously expecting you to come under that sort of pressure. But he's given you the power and the authority to resist it. And he'll be with you wherever you go. And from that, I can witness to people anytime, because God's commanded me to do it. Divine encounter. We pray for someone, you get healed. Why? It's not up to me. I'm just doing what he told me. I'm obeying him. I don't have to be afraid. If he doesn't do it, it's not my responsibility. It's his. My responsibility is to do what he told me. But that was a liberation, because he gives you power. He knows you're going to be frightened. So he gives you power. He said, and three times he reminds Joshua, I will be with you. And he says, do not be afraid of him. It's a command, not an option. But when Joshua did it, he found it worked. What happened? They walk into the Jordan. It stops flowing. God backs up what he says. You just have to position yourself to do it. Wherever you are. In Syria now, there are people who are being beheaded for being Christians. We've got nothing to worry about in this country in terms of physical. Well, we might have here and there, but you get my point. But remember, whoever needs this today, remember that the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He gives you the command, and he gives you the power to carry that command out. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. It's just that simple. And that totally liberated me. So absorb that word. This is the sword of the Spirit. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And it says, meditate on it day and night. That means mutter it under your breath, the literal translation. Meditate the word of the Lord. So I've sat in God's word ever since. If it's not in the Bible, it's not from God. Whatever you're facing, whatever question you have, it's not in here, it's not from God. Easy. So be encouraged. Do not be terrified, for God is with you wherever you go. Bless you.
Thank you, Howard. Another approach I like is Joyce Meyer's approach. And she says, if you feel afraid, do it afraid.
It's been interesting to hear people talking about Bible verses. I like Bible stories. And I love heroes in the Bible. So I love people like David, people like Ruth, and of course people like Jesus. And their lives speak to me. 3 weeks ago I was in Portugal, and I opened the beginning bit of Mark, and it talks about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the fulfillment of a prophecy. And so much of what we do is fulfillment of God's prophetic word. And John the Baptist, it said, This is the guy who's preparing the way for Jesus to come. Doesn't stand in the big square in Jerusalem, but he goes out into the desert and he dresses himself in camel hair and he eats locusts and berries and he talks about this Jesus who is to come and he says, I'm not worthy to tie the sandals of the person who follows behind me. And for me, that just, it was John saying, if there's three words to describe John, maybe three or there four, it's not about me. Is that four? I'm not sure. But how many is it? It's not four, okay. It's not about me. That's the story of John. It's not about me. After I read those verses, I was found myself in a public square in the town of Lagos in Portugal with a group of people called Movement in Worship who are doing all sorts of movement and dance stuff, which isn't exactly the sort of thing that I do so much, and a group of psalm drummers, which is much more what I'd love doing because I used to play the drums. And then while they were prophetically dancing and doing what they're doing, they happened to pull out three different coloured flags, and those flags were the colours of Portugal. And the dancers, one of the dancers, my good friend Andy Al, called me and said, speak it out, Julian. So I stood in the square in my ordinary gear, feeling a bit of an idiot, but shouting out in Portuguese the stuff that God wanted to do for Portugal. And I prayed hope, and I just prayed for Portugal, and I just spoke it out really loud, and there are people standing in the shop windows and in the shop doorways and people all around looking at what we're doing. And it was Julian in his camel suit eating his locusts and berries and feeling a bit of an idiot, but realizing it's not about me. It's not about me.
Hi, so this is me stepping out in fear. Bear with, but doing it anyway, indeed. So I was just flicking through my Bible and I came across some verses that I had written down whilst I was at Sanctuary a couple of months ago. And one of them has sort of spoken to me recently because I've found a lot of friends that have been struggling. And one of them's from Ephesians 6, verse 12 to 13. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. And I just sometimes think that a lot of people forget that it's not just about us, that there is something a lot bigger happening, and that what's happening to us isn't because we've done something wrong necessarily. So I just wanted to kind of encourage people in that. And alongside that, I've now lost the page, so you're going to have to bear with me while I try and find it. Hang on. And I've got the shakes, so you have to bear with me. Oh, don't you just love this? It took me ages to find this as well. If anyone fancies finding Ecclesiastes 4 for me, that'd be... Oh, found it. Okay. Praise God. Okay, so Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now, I really speak from experience for this, because I found Sanctuary a real safe haven, and I found my cell groups to be a real safe haven and somewhere where many times I have fallen. And I know that I couldn't have done it without the support of my friends praying for me. And obviously God's there for you anyway, but so, yeah, I just want to encourage people to find someone that they know and trust. And, great. That's it, really. I just, yeah, I really hope that that speaks to people as much as it did to me, as you can tell.
Hi, Hi. She's a great communicator, actually, so well done, Sarah. Just to say, this is sort of more of a testimony. I mean, there are verses that are very personal to me, but they're actually verses that we put out in a prayer space that we just recently did in the school that I'm part of. And a prayer space is a bit like the 24/7 prayer room, but we've actually did it in a school. Some of the verses, the theme of the thing was about journeys, and there were different zones, and the verses we had out were the following. Be still and know that I am God. That's from the Psalm 46:10. I have written your names on the palms of my hands, and that's from Isaiah 49:16. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then another one that was from Jeremiah 29, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And within that prayer space, we had different zones, and different children, they had a be still zone where they could just think. We had some of the prophetic painters from here, did some paintings. We had Linda Crew brought a whole load of things. And there was a still tent where there was about forgiveness, and Ollie had done this little piece about sort of forgiveness and talked about Jesus and how we talked about forgiveness, and they practically did things. And to be honest, I've never been in anything quite so incredible in my life, in a sense. I've had obviously vision for schools and things, but actually to see God's word, you know, just simply on the wall for children to read, to take away. There was 240 children, the staff all went through this zone. It's absolutely incredible. We had Linda Crew and also Fiona Briggs came along one morning to help. And actually, just for these children to read these verses, that those words are spoken over their lives. And actually, for each of those groups, when I did the feedback each thing, there was a visible sense of peace and calm. It wasn't just an absence peace. You know, there was God's presence was there. And we had, like, the Bethel worship music in the background. Just, it was just incredible. And actually, those words, we just pray that they go in the hearts. There's a lot going on in schools at the moment, people bringing the Bibles, you know, stories, they open the book and things. And it's just, you know, that we want those words to go deep in their hearts so they can come back to it and they can remember. And everything that they did had that sense that, you know, they were in God's hands. So he'd written his name on their hands. He knows all about them. And that's just, you know, there's some incredible, exciting things going on where, you know, God's word is coming out into the land, into the different things that are going on. So whilst I know it's not a personal thing for you, those verses are special to me, but actually to see it out and see it impacting children's lives and watching some of these children, really troubled background, just sitting completely in that place, looking at these verses, taking them in, you know, it was just incredible. And so God's word is powerful, and we've heard this morning these great testimonies just of lives, our own lives that get changed, but also of people around us and these young children. Just, it was incredible. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.